Hear the word of God, as it is written in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, reading from verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive, as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God.
But a very, very important, and I trust a very helpful one, and that's chapter 3, verse 15 to verse 17. I'm sure that most of us today will find this to be very, very, very instructive in our walk with Jesus. So let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that you have given to us in Jesus Christ everything we need for life, everything we need for godliness through our knowledge of him. And now as we put aside everything else and just concentrate and learn from the very word of God, we want to pray for your spirit to open our hearts this morning, open our minds this morning, and stir our wills, that we may want to put this passage into practice. Please, Lord, hear our prayer. For Christ's sake, amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, did you watch the rugby yesterday? Don't worry about today. We all missed it. But did you watch it yesterday, those two semi-finals? You will have noticed that the referee in one of those matches was a young man by the name of Craig Joubert. Lovely, lovely man that I know personally. And remember his dad with much thanksgiving. I had the joy of leading him to the Lord many, many years ago. But Craig Joubert is a great ref, arguably the best in the world. So what he had yesterday are two teams, 15 men. They all know the rules. They all know how they should play. They all know everything about the game. But Craig was there to control it, wasn't he? Craig had to make sure that everything runs well. Everything runs according to the rules. That's what he does. When some people are naughty, he boots them off for 10 minutes and brings them back again. He exercises control. Now, what I want to show you this morning is your referees. That's literally what this passage means. It's the most amazing chapter, isn't it, friends? I hope you found it helpful. Let me just regroup for a minute to put it into context for you. Remember in verses 1 and 2, Paul began chapter 3 by reminding us that you and I must put our heart on things above. That's where your heart must be. I may be a little bit naughty perhaps. Our heart is not on our rugby. We enjoy watching it. Of course we do. We support our men. But that's not where our heart is. Our heart is on things above. Then in verse 2, put your mind. Where's your mind? Your mind, he says, is to be on things above. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not the world's telling you this. This is what God says to you as his people. Your heart's on things above. Your mind on things above. And then from verse 5 to verse 11, he said, and now that's what you must put off. You must get rid of all sexual sin and the wrong attitudes in life. Put them off. Get rid of them because they hamper your testimony. And then last time we had a look at verse 12 to verse 14, what we must put on. So we put off and we put on. Now the question is, what are the controls? What's going to help us? What's going to be there to assist us so that you and me together can live a life that's to the glory of God and in a way that will bring most credit to the gospel? What are the four referees? Number one. The first one is peace. Peace. See verse 15 with me? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Oh, my friends, that is amazing. There's the first control for you and me today. Peace. When you have a look at that verse, you will notice three things about this peace. The first thing that you notice, it's a divine peace. He says, let the peace of Christ. Its character stems from its source, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that say to you and to me? It says this, that in the midst of circumstances which normally would cause us anxiety, this peace of Christ will protect your hearts and your minds. And in that sense, it surpasses all human understanding. So that when people see you and me, when we are going through some of the hard knocks in life, and they see the peace of Christ, it's beyond understanding. If you could take some extreme illustrations of that, let's just say this week, some of you perhaps get retrenched, or perhaps you lose a loved one in your home. Or perhaps there's some turmoil in one way or another. You must let the peace of Jesus rule. I've got long way to go. But I had to learn that this year. It's quite a knock in life when you are told that one of your children has got cancer. It's a huge thing. And I had to learn, like you and I learn, in the midst of life, the peace of Christ is to rule. Not stress, not worry, not anxiety. Peace. So this is an amazing thing. You may say to me, what do you mean by that? The best illustration I could give you is from William Hendrickson. He wrote, this peace is the conviction that the sins of our past have been forgiven, that the present is being overruled for good, and that the future cannot bring about separation between Jesus and us. Let the peace of Christ. Number two, it must rule. I'll go back to where I started this little sermon for you. The Greek verb here, I believe, means to act as an umpire. That's literally what it means. So, for you and I, we've got to let the peace of Jesus act like an umpire. That's how we go about our life. That must govern all that you do and all that you say in life. How often have you also learned this little lesson? That you get a very difficult letter from somebody and your first reaction is to stand up for your rights and to write back to them or to send an email, or if you want to be even quicker, an SMS. But you know what I've learned over the years? Don't do that. Let the peace rule. So if you're still in that old-fashioned way of writing a letter, you'll put it in the drawer. Before you send that email, you'll leave it. If you send that SMS, you'll wait. And you'll leave it in the drawer for the night, giving you time to think it over and to pray. Did I say the right words? Did I come across nicely? Have I understood the situation? Because the peace of Christ must rule. I don't want to do anything that's going to disturb that peace. And thirdly, it's the peace of unity. He says, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So in life, what a fantastic umpire. What a wonderful controlling thing this is for me. And I trust for you this morning that all that life gives us, the ups and the downs of life, there's one thing that stamps our life, and that is the peace of Christ ruling. Let me ask you, my dear friends, if I may, is that true for you today? Were you stressed out of your head, filled with anxiety, filled with concern, said things that have hurt people, done things that have disturbed peace, broken friendships, broken relationships? It's a shambles. To say to you this morning, control number one, let the peace of Jesus rule. How's that, sir? You glaring at me as if I'm... Is that right? Number two. What's the second umpire? The second controlling aspect for us? Well, listen to the apostle. Just the next three words at the end of verse 15. He says, and be thankful. Now, a lovely word. And be thankful. In other words, the one thing that's going to really promote peace, the one thing that's going to really encourage me in my walk with Jesus, is when I'm overpowered with a feeling of such warm and deep appreciation for all the benefits that I've received from God. And you know what? We are thankful. It's a lovely thing to see in a person's life. To be thankful. To be overflowing with thankfulness for all that God has so kindly done for us and is doing in our lives. And you will find that when your life and my life is overflowing with thankfulness, it will have two side effects. The one side effect is it will encourage humility. It will encourage humility because it will develop that wonderful awareness that everything in life is a gift from God, and I'm grateful. Sometimes, if you chat to folks, you're sorry you asked them how they are. You know what it's like? Yeah. And then the whole world comes gushing out. But how different to other people when they say, you know, God's been so good to me. And I look back over my life, God's been so kind. This has gone well, and that's gone well, and that's gone well. And the most wonderful thing of all is that God has saved me, and that I belong to Jesus. You see, to be filled with thanksgiving is to produce a humble spirit, and secondly, you will find that thanksgiving kills self-pity. It kills it. Because self-pity is the parent of resentment and bitterness. So my dear friends, God has done such a lovely work for you. He gave you the grace to put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you've become a new person. You've tried to put off what we've been through, and you're putting on. Your mind is set on things above. Your heart is on things above. That's how we live. But what controls this? Allow God's peace to rule. And have a heart that is always thankful, always overflowing with gratitude to the Lord. Thankfulness and peace. Is that all right so far? Let's come to number 3. What's the third control? See the next verse, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonishing one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you see again, with gratitude in your hearts to God. So what's the third control, my dear friends, as you wind your way home in just a few moments? The third control is, I must let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. Let's break that down into two things. First of all, there's a command. There's a strong command from God. And what is that command? Well, first of all, it is to get the word of Christ. Now, of course, that may mean the word spoken by Christ or the word spoken of Christ. Of course that is involved. But it's wider than that. It's speaking about the word of God. It's speaking about, in our terms, the Bible. What it's saying is, yes, no matter what comes your way, there's peace. Always filled with thanksgiving to Jesus. But you know what else? I take this book. I take this word. And I allow this word to dwell in me richly. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. Secondly, it must dwell. Again, I just share it with you. The word literally means to be at home in. To be at home in. So what we want is to be men and women in whom the Bible is at home. And how much is it to be at home? Thirdly, it must dwell in us richly. Richly. You know what that means, friends? In practical, simple terms, what Jesus is saying to you and me, as a controlling factor of our lives. Sorry to repeat. Peace. Thankfulness. But the third control is the Word of God. and I let the word fill me richly. What that means, of course, in simple terms, is that I need to be disciplined, don't I? I need to set aside time every day to spend time with God. I need to spend time every day to be reading, to be marking, to be learning, to be memorizing the precious word of God in my life. That's what it's saying. In an article I read just the other day, may shake you a little bit. I don't know how they did it, but you know, they always have these surveys, and they surveyed a couple of thousand Christians across America. And you know what they found? That the average Christian, average right across the board, reads their Bible for 1.5 minutes every day. That's incredibly sad, isn't it? Just to try and help you, if I had to say to you as you look over this last week, I wonder what would be the average time that you spent watching television. I wonder what you would say to me. Well, you say, hey, boy, that's a bit tough, because we've been watching Samoa. We're going to watch the Australia. We're going to watch these All Blacks. That's a couple of hours. See, how much time did you spend in front of the box? And then ask yourself, but how much time did I spend with God in the Bible? Just a thought. There's the command. The second thing you notice there in verse 16 are the consequences. What are the consequences? He says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing. So the first consequences is really going to be as you teach. So there's to be this mutual sharing of the word of God that comes from the indwelling word that you and I are learning and growing in day by day. And the fantastic thing about our church, there are lots of other far bigger churches, I'm sure, and better churches, but the one great thing about Christchurch, as it is for every other church of England, is that wherever you go on Sunday, wherever you go to Bible study, you get the Bible. It's a wonderful thing there. It's a precious, precious, precious thing there. It's terrific there. As you teach, secondly, as you admonish. I'm afraid to say sometimes when you and I teach, there will be periods of admonishing. Isn't that right? You may come to church some Sundays and Tom may be preaching, or Shane, or perhaps myself, and you say, wow, that hit me right over here. Has that ever happened to you? You may be admonished. You know, when I was running the comrades, I had a lot of trouble with my knees. And I used to go to our doctor, Hugh Watson, and I used to say, yo, you've got to put some of that injection stuff into my knee, please. So what he would do, you know how they do it. They've got no compassion. He would push like this until he felt the spot. It was, yeah, that's the spot. And then he would hold it and get the needle and put the stuff in. But it was wonderful afterwards. But he hit the spot. That's what admonishing is. That sometimes you will read the Bible or you'll listen to the Bible being taught and it will cut you to the heart. Isn't that wonderful? We must pray for that. So sometimes you'll say to me, Warwick, I hated your sermon. I will say, well, praise the Lord for that. You say, because you showed me what I was doing wrong. I say, well, isn't that terrific? Now let's put it right. You see, there's got to be teaching, but there's also got to be admonishing. And the third area where it's going to affect us is in our singing. Now, you must help us here this morning. Will you do that? Let me give you a little illustration. You learn a lot over life. I'm sitting in the chapel when I was at Bible college. We used to have chapel every Monday morning for an hour, and we'd had visiting missionaries and speakers speak to us. And I've never forgotten one day this visiting speaker came, and he said, now we are going to commence our worship. You know how we go? And we're going to sing together, let's say, number 521. And he read the first verse, and he said, I'm sorry, but we can't sing that. Oh, okay. One of these guys. So, let's go to verse 2, and he said, let me read it, and he read it, and he said, sorry, we can't sing that again. Can we change the hymn? What he was saying is, some of the songs and the words were not biblical. May have had nice tunes and sound all nice and make you goose fleshy, but theologically weak. We must scrap them. That's what it says. When you sing, you must make sure you're singing what's according to the Bible. Isn't that interesting? So we'll be singing psalms. Sometimes we'll sing hymns, sometimes spiritual songs. We sing with gratitude in our hearts to the Lord. But my friends, we must make sure that whatever we sing, whatever, whether the chorus or a hymn, whatever it is absolutely steeped in the Word of God. We've got one more to go, so I better see if it's above board. Hope it is. I'm sure it will be. So what are the controls, friends? We nearly finished. Craig was a great ref yesterday. He controlled that match brilliantly, they said. What are your controls? Always let peace rule. Always live a life filled with thanksgiving. And live a life that's filled and saturated with the very word of Christ. And then lastly, number 4, the last verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what's the last control? That is the glory of God. Notice one, how the scope is inclusive. It says whether you do it in word or in deed. So make sure that whatever you say, word, or whatever you do, deed, is to the glory of God. If it's not, don't say it. If it's not, don't do it. What's the great control? The umpire is what I'm saying to the glory of my God. Is what I'm doing for God's glory. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? I'm going to tell you, it lifts your life to another pitch. So hopefully Mary will sort us some lunch. I'll have to wash the dishes. I must do that for the glory of God. That's life. Isn't that right? That's the way it's been. It's a wonderful thing. It's not boring. It's not terrible. It's fantastic. Why? Because it's for God. Isn't that a lovely way to live? Not for my happiness. Not for the clean dishes. Although that helps. It's for God. So you're driving home, and all those guys cut in front of you react to the glory of God. And whatever you do, do it for God. You're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're washing the dishes, you're loving your kids, you're loving your husband, you're loving your wife for God. The activities involved should be done under the complete authority and approval of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as he's already touched on, and give thanks to God the Father. Put off, put on, and there are the controls. For the rest of your life, no matter what happens to you, No matter what life throws you, it's okay. If you're a Christian, my precious friend, peace must rule. Always be thankful. Let the Word live in you richly. And whatever you do, do it for God. Next week, the wives. Wonderful. The week after that, the husband. Oopsie. But see how nice it is learning the Bible. You cover every aspect of life. The principles are now stated. Next week we're going to deal with the family, and then we deal with our work, and then we'll deal with our responsibility in the world, and then we'll finish Colossians. Now let us pray. We're going to spend just a few moments in quietness. Maybe there's something today that you just need to put right. Maybe you are stressed this morning, filled with anxiety, not letting the peace of Jesus rule. Maybe you've said something to somebody or you've done something that's hurt somebody. You're needing to put that right. Maybe you're not always thankful. You've been spending too little time in the Bible. Why don't you spend just a few moments just quietly as you talk to God? Father, as we wind our way home, we are so, so grateful that you have given to us the Bible. Thank you that it shows us how to live. Thank you for these controls that are there to help us. And I pray for forgiveness where they haven't always been in practice. And ask you for grace to live and to speak to the glory of God for the rest of our lives. Forgive our many sins. Renew a right spirit within us, precious Lord. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.